I bid you welcome.
Cara mia. We all go a little mad sometimes.
We accept a one of us. We accept a one of us.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Wolfman's got an art.
Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Home is Where the Horror Is, a podcast dedicated to all things horror and our love for it. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm Monica.
2 days.
Yep.
We're recording this on Wednesday, and we got 2 days. Of course, if you're listening to this episode, Merry Christmas. I hope you all have a good holiday so far. Hopefully nothing too crazy. Hopefully you're all staying safe. And it's always bittersweet. Mm. It's like coming to this, you get excited for the thought of it, and then it comes, and then it's over in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of like, oh, now we're going into the shit months.
Yeah.
But we are closing out with another holiday film. And Monica gets a pick this time. And it's Holiday Myth as well. Yeah, once again, we've been really slacking and watching other horror in between.
Yeah.
I think probably because we were focused on watching Christmas movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, what did you decide to go with for your final Christmas film?
So I'm going to go with, you know, one of my favorite horror movies at Christmas time, with the exception of Scrooge, which is more like comedy.
Yeah, so that's the only one I can't, other than when his, like, other than death at the end and his one boss being kind of a zombie.
Yeah.
I don't consider anything else about that horror. No.
Okay.
But the death scene, when death opens up his chest,
yeah,
that scene was terrifying,
yeah,
as a kid.
Yeah. So, as a horror movie, I decided to go with A Christmas Horror Story.
Yeah, it's gained more popularity, but it's nowhere near the point of, like, Trick or Treat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it may be for good reason, but either way, it is the best, I think, Christmas horror anthology movie. I don't know if I would say it's the best Christmas movie, mm-hmm, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been watching it now for years together, mm-hmm, so as we do, we find any horror movie during any holiday and watch the hell out, the hell out of it. So, yeah, why don't you give us a breakdown of the general plot and who's in this?
Okay. So it was released July 20th, 2015. It runs 99 minutes, and it's directed. It actually has three directors: Grant Harvey, Brett Sullivan, which neither one of them really did a whole lot, and then Stephen Hoban, which did Splice and Ginger Snap.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like I said, it's an anthology, so there's a couple different stories. So there's a lot of people in it, but the only one that really, like, anyone will know is William Shatner.
Well, yes, William Shatner is the most well-known, but I would also argue the guy, and this will get into a fun fact. I'll just save it to myself. But yeah, William Shatner is the most well-known of,
yeah,
all the actors,
yeah,
in the movie.
So basically, you know, like you said, it is a horror anthology. There's four different stories. So the first story, we have Dylan, Ben, and Molly. They break into their school to investigate murders that occurred in the basement the previous year. Kind of crossing over with that, there's a cop named Scott who is actually seen in the beginning discovering the bodies of those murders. So he takes some time off to spend with his family, like stress leave. So him and his wife Kim and their son Will go to chop down a tree on private land, and then the son disappears for a little bit. They find him, but then he's different when they get him back. The other one is there's two kids, Caprice and Duncan, and their parents, Taylor and Diane, and they're heading to their aunt's house on Krampusnacht, which, you know, if you listen to our previous podcast, you'd know that's Krampus night, basically.
Yep.
And they've all been naughty, so see what happens there. And then the last one, which is probably like my favorite storyline, is the one with Santa at the North Pole. So, you know, basically Santa and his wife and the elves. Well, the elves start to attack them as they're turning into zombies, basically.
Yeah, the elves are infected and zombies are the best way to put them. Yeah.
So that's just a little overview of it.
And I know we'll get to it, but I'll just say, fair warning, there will be major spoilers for this as we go on. So I'll say, if you've never seen the movie, if you want to keep listening, you know, we're not going to spoil everything, but we can't help but talk about some of the major twists of the film. So, fair warning.
Which pretty much, if anyone's actually listening to this, and, you know, we basically go over the whole movie. So,
all right, before we talk about what we love and hate, let's go over the postmortem.
Okay. So, there was a lot of kills, you know, I guess we can call it that, because, you know, there were some elves that get killed, come back, all that stuff. But there's...
I thought about that when you and I were asking me. Just like a zombie movie, I count it as a double death.
Double death,
like, if you die and become a zombie, and then you kill the zombie, because you still have to kill them twice. So, you know, some of them, like, in more sophisticated movies, like, if you know you're in a situation where you're going to become a zombie, sometimes they'll automatically shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to kill them twice.
Yeah.
So I always count that as double death.
So there were 25 kills. There was one sex scene, but there was no nudity.
No.
Involved.
But it's of the movies we've seen, it's probably one of the better acted sex scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually.
And considering they're supposed to be minors.
Are they high
schoolers? They're in high schoolers. They're high schoolers.
Could they be seniors and 18?
Well, I'm sure the actors themselves who are doing it are older. They're probably in their 20s, but, you know, in the movie, I think they're probably like 16, 17, somewhere
around
that. Like three major screams, no real falls, two instances of Murphy's Law. They get locked in the basement and, you know, a car gets stuck in the snow. And for reoccurring, we went with different creatures. There's four different creatures in this movie. There's elves, Krampus, ghost, and a changeling. So that kind of gives you a little...
Would you almost say there's five because the elves turn to zombies?
Okay.
So
I guess
it's
you can say
like
that.
Five? Is that cheap?
No, I guess, well, technically the elves, are zombies. So, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. No, it was a good wrap up. So, this is a weird movie to talk about what I love and hate because... I do have more things I think I like about than dislike, but you know, I'm curious. I'll go first in saying that one of the first things I like is prior to this movie, almost most of the things I've seen, I'd never seen a Christmas horror movie. Like they're not super traditional things. Like even the Krampus thing, until the Krampus movie, I didn't know anything about that. But the idea of the one story, as you were saying, Scott with his family, the little boy turns into, well, doesn't turn into, he gets abducted by changelings.
Yes.
And you never see that for Christmas movies. A ghost on Christmas, the idea obviously is pretty standard considering like a Christmas carol, but this is more of a, like a possession.
Yeah.
So you don't see that. And then, Krampus, and then the elves turning to zombies. Like, I've seen a lot of zombie movies. Ain't never seen an elf zombie.
Yeah.
So, I like the originality of the stories. Like, it wasn't an atypical, like there's a million other Christmas horror movies, and they're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
This one was unique.
Was unique, yeah, definitely.
What about you?
So, there's a couple things that I really liked. First off, I loved the opening music. So it's Carol of the Bells, but it's done in such a creepy way. And it's kind of hard to hear the words that they're singing. I don't think they're singing, like, the exact lyrics, but it's just very creepy and...
Put a girl to the...
Like, it's just pretty creepy, right? I really do like that. And I like how all the stories connect very well.
Well, yeah. So as you said, you have the school one, which it gets the easy connection because the cop was there. And then you get the Krampus one because the girl The young girl was dating one of the guys who was at the school. So that's like where the connection ends there. And then
when they were driving down the road, the car passed the cop and his wife as they were getting out of the car to go chop down the tree.
So they definitely hit the like crossover because it all happens during the same 12-hour period. Yeah,
and it with all of them, with every single story, it's also all linked to the radio show.
By William Shatner.
Who's
drunk.
Dangerous Dan.
He's drunk and he's like pissed off at like, he's like, I'm going to talk about Jesus. That's his birthday. Yeah. Like, so he's just drunk and kind of going on a rant. Do we mention the spoiler yet? Or should we get to this?
We'll get to that. Okay. Yeah.
But no, yeah, the connections are definitely good. Honing in on one thing, I do mention it in a scene, but I like how in most of the stories, it's completely the kid's fault.
Yeah.
Like these kids go to school, break into a school, shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
That happens. The little boy, I don't want to blame him, but he wanders off and gets caught. The little kid breaks the Krampus thing.
Yeah.
And in theory, that's like, it's very like the kid's fault.
Well, because it's all about naughty children. Like, that's all.
It is. And it's like, you know, there's severe penalty. Whereas in every other movie, kids always turn out fine.
Yeah.
And most of them.
Yeah. This
don't.
One, not so much.
No,
yeah.
No. So I did like that. Yeah. That was another nice twist.
One of the things, other things I did like about this movie.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, I know it's your birthday.
What?
I just said Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Christmas.
Shut up. What do you think? What do you think I'm about to say?
Well, babe, based on what you said while we were watching it, Krampus, get it.
That is like the hottest Krampus character. Not his face, but like his body is damn.
Oh my God. I did
Krampus
mention,
can
I,
get it.
I did mention to you that actor, Rob Archer, he has followed me on Instagram.
Oh, really?
And I said that, I think I showed you, I was like, babe, the guy who does Krampus, he followed us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah. I did actually see like some of the movies that he was in.
Yeah.
But damn. Damn.
I knew it. God, this movie's getting an A from you. It's already cemented. Okay, so one thing I will say that I did like also, the final thing, speaking of Krampus, I did like the Krampus makeup.
Yes, it was done. That was done very well.
That and the elves.
Mm-hmm.
The elves, even before they turn, they're all kind of creepy and look legit. And then when they are zombies, they are just double creepy, so... Now, things you didn't like. I know before we started, you had mentioned you didn't really have anything.
I didn't really, like, some of the stories just maybe started off a little slowly, but, you know.
So, some of the ones I had, one, at the very beginning, North Pole, that is terrible CGI.
Oh, okay.
And I know, you know, at a year, like, I don't know what the budget was, but I just kind of feel like they just really skimped out, and it looks really like that sets the wrong tone for this movie, because I'm like, oh, is this whole movie gonna be shitty when I first saw that?
Yeah.
So that kind of threw me off. Then kind of sticking with that, it's funny because I said I didn't mind the Krampus makeup. I hate it, the look of the changeling once they're up close.
Oh, at the end.
From a distance, when the kid has the glowing eyes, it's creepy. Like, you don't know what they're going to look like. And then they kind of look like mutated pig people. Like, they have, like, a snout, one eye smaller than the other.
Well, you have to remember the one that they showed, he was the one that got beat up. Remember, the mom beat him up with a baseball bat. So
yeah,
that's
but
why his eyes all
just
lumped
still,
up and everything.
Like, I think they were a little too proud of that makeup job to show it as much as they did. And the same goes for that ghost of the school story.
Yeah.
It literally looked like the makeup we could have done for Halloween. Like, just put some
white on there.
It was just very, like, and that whole scene had been creepy up until they showed the ghost. So I feel like the makeup department fell flat on some of the other people.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the only other thing I'll say is the first two stories, The School and The Changeling, it feels very imbalanced because those feel like so weak compared to the Krampus and Santa Claus story. Yeah. That, and that's kind of, it's semi-natural in anthology films for there to be like better tier, but it seems like there's a big contrast between those.
Yeah, I feel like probably, even though there were some definitely interesting scenes within the Changeling one, that was probably my least favorite out of all the stories.
See, I might actually go with the School one.
Really? I thought the School was interesting.
It just, the payoff wasn't there.
Wasn't there, yeah.
But no, I mean, the Changeling one, we'll get to that in specific scenes. There was things I really liked about it, but yeah, as a whole, it doesn't compare to the other two stories.
Yeah.
So, what's the first scene you actually wanted to talk about?
So I kind of just went like with the opening scene. So basically, we're in the North Pole, and it's kind of like reminiscent of Trick or Treat, where the beginning is the end of the movie.
Okay.
So, you know, you see, so you know, it opens up, Santa's in the stables where he keeps the reindeer. He's got the sled there and he's like covered in blood and you see the doors banging and then it just opens and it's a flash of light and then, you know, it goes right to the radio station. Yeah. And it says 12 hours later. Yeah. Earlier.
Okay. Yeah. So my first one is actually when the elf, when you first see there's something wrong with one of the elves, like Santa comes in a workshop, yeah. They're all working. And what's the one's name? Is it Shiny?
Shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shiny's sitting there. He doesn't look good. He's like sweaty. And Santa's like just asking, are you okay? Mrs. Claus comes in, says, hey, I've got some cookies. And and she's like offering everyone a cookie. And they keep bugging Shiny. They're like, Shiny, you got to eat to keep your energy.
You love cookies.
He's like, I'm okay. And then, like, in a fit of rage, like, he smacks it was an axe?
It was an axe, yeah.
It was a little, like, wood-cutting axe. He cuts into his own hand. He slams down. He yells, I don't want your fucking cookies, you reindeer snow fucking whore. And then, like, and in that moment, like, one, like, as I said, the elves already looked really creepy. Yeah. But the humor of that elf, and this is a reoccurring thing for sure. I know you're going to get to it.
Yeah.
But that set the tone for that story arc. I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I have two of the quotes that I wrote down from Shiny. One is, I'm going to eat your brains out, you Christmas cunt. Mm-hmm. And I'll take that pole and shove it up your rosy red ass.
They had some great one-liners in here. I guess we should have mentioned that as things we love.
Yeah,
we love the one-liners from that specific elf.
Yeah.
So what's the scene for you?
So the next scene is in the Changeling series, and when the wife is sleeping.
Oh yeah.
It's so creepy. She's sleeping, like her and her husband, they're having some issues, they're having some problems. Like obviously he has like an anger issue.
But he's also on stress leave.
He is on stress leave because he found the dead bodies
and
of the
something
kids.
About that like changed him.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously they've been having some problems because like he's trying to get freaky and she's like, no, like not happening. So he leaves, goes in the other room. She's in bed asleep. And then you see the covers moving, like someone is crawling up and then, you know, she's kind of like whimpering as she's asleep. And then, you know, she's got a shirt. You see some hard nip going on. And you see a little child, like a child's hands, like reaching up and grabbing her boob. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the changeling under there. And then, like, she, like, jumps up. And all of a sudden, you just see, like, running towards the door.
And they set that scene up well because when she had just gotten out of the shower, she's, like, drying off. And she turned around and the changeling, or what she thinks is her son, is just standing there. So,
it's creepy.
Extra creepy for sure. Mm-hmm. Funny you said that. So one of the scenes I had from that is, you know, the kid is displaying a couple weird things, but the one that really sets it off is when they're having dinner and the kid is sitting there eating spaghetti. And I got to give that kid actor all the props in the world. He did a great job being creepy and scary looking as fuck. Like, the way he like looks up front while he's eating his spaghetti, he looks like if anyone out there listening has ever broken a dog, and you know there are some dogs like won't let you get near them when they're eating. That's what he looks like. He looks like an animal, and he's sitting there shoveling it in, and mother's like, "Stop, you're gonna get a stomach ache." And the dad, like, he's like, "Okay, buddy, it's time." And he just stabs his dad in the hand with a fork. I'll give that dad credit. He had way more restraint than I would for getting stabbed in the hand with a fork in that moment.
Well, you can tell he was about to, like, you know, beat the shit out of him, but the mother's like, "Stop it!"
Yeah, but that scene is one, like I said, it cements, you know, there's something wrong. But I can't stress enough, I love the acting of that kid.
Yeah.
Are you lost?
Yeah, hold on. I'm kind of having these out of order. So this might lead into one of my things with the wrap up, but so you have the family visiting the aunt and everything like that, and you know they realize they're being chased. I don't think they don't realize it's Krampus at first. The one thing that I thought was interesting was when they're in the woods, their car goes off, you know, gets stuck in a ditch. They're running through the woods. The father, I don't know, gets shot, or I don't know what exactly happened to him, but he had like an abdominal wound.
No, it was Krampus's chain.
Oh, it was his chain. Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing that I thought was interesting, the son. So the son's standing there, and all of a sudden, like, you hear the chains, and then he gets dragged under the snow, and, like, he disappears. Now, that is the same thing that happened to the daughter. Oh, no, the daughter got the uncle in the movie Krampus.
Mm-hmm.
And they both came out the same exact year. Which is interesting.
Yeah, I think he just got pulled off. I don't think he necessarily got pulled on. I think that was more like you saw the chain go around him and you knew, whereas.
No. You actually saw him getting dragged and you saw the lump.
But what I'm saying is, like, in the movie Krampus, it's definitely some other type of creature doing it. Whereas here, you saw the chain grab him. So you knew it was Krampus doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that same style. It was very similar. Yeah. Well, you kind of just took my scene, but the reason I had the same general scene was when the dad gets hit, he just asks, he's like, "Was I shot?"
Yeah.
Like, I just love the, and granted, he's in shock because something did just hit him. He doesn't know, but it's like, you didn't hear a gun, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just the comedy of that scene. But then for that scene to end the way it did with the kid being dragged off, that goes back to like, oh, like the kid gets it first because he was the one who broke the Krampus thing.
Yeah.
So I love that juxtaposition where the kid never gets it first. The dad's been kind of an asshole. You learn he's like kind of swindling his aunt. You don't really feel bad for him, but this kid, he's an asshole, but he's a kid.
Yeah.
Gets it, and you're like, ew, okay, this is how this is going to go.
Yeah.
So I did like that scene.
Yeah. again, back to the changeling. So the changeling kills the father, and the mother comes in, and he's sitting on the floor playing with the severed hand of his dad.
Yeah. He's like playing patty cake with her.
Yeah, just playing it. And the mother's like, "What the fuck?" And she's got a baseball bat because she's getting a phone call from the guy from the woods saying, "Bring the changeling back." And then she just beats the shit out of it with that baseball bat.
Smacks him in the face, yeah. She beat that bitch with a bat. Okay, so then my next scene is at the end of the Krampus, the girl is running from him and does a great move. Like, she's trying to get away from him. She's trying to get back in her aunt's house. The door's locked. So she goes over and she picks up, like, a big, like, wooden stake almost. I think it was just supposed to be a stick or something.
Mm-hmm.
Falls in her back. It goes through Krampus's neck. Great scene. But then she goes and you're like, oh, she's going to get the chainsaw. And no, she gets a fire, throws it on him, lights him up. And it turns out it's the like gardener or
the butler. Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of like, oh, so he's Krampus.
Yeah.
And that starts to clue you in on what happens after that.
Which, but he's a creepy guy anyway. Like,
if you're going to say anything he was in, don't, because it's a fun fact.
Okay.
But yes, that actor has been in many movies and shows and comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, my last scene is the last scene. So, do you have anything else to contribute besides that?
If you're talking about the reveal, like...
It includes the spoiler.
Reveal. Yeah. So, go ahead. You can do it.
All right. So, we're back at the beginning scene. So, Santa is in the stable and, you know, he hears, he's covered in blood. This is after the battle with all of the elves and everything like that. And the door swings open and Krampus comes in. So now there's a battle between Saint Nick and Krampus. You know, they're fighting, everything like that. And Santa, like, knocks off one of his horns. And, like, as he gets Krampus down, as he's about to deliver, like, the death blow, Krampus speaks to him and says, Norman, stop. And he flashes back and... It's Storm and Norman from the radio station that you see in the beginning.
Who holds up a sign that says, fuck Christmas.
Fuck Christmas, yeah. And he's dressed in a Santa suit, like, at a mall, basically. So, and then he sees the guy, and he keeps having flashbacks. And basically, all the kills that he's done, it flashes back to the kill that is in his mind of the elf or his wife or whatever. And then flashes forward to... the person he actually killed. So he's kind of having like a little mental break going on. And, you know, it's the story actually is not Santa killing all these zombie elves. He's actually killing people at like a food drive.
At a mall. Yeah. Food, yeah. And what I picked up this viewing, which I don't know if I did before, William Shatner throughout the movie kind of gives you clues because he says Storm and Norman. You can see him at the food drive.
Yeah.
Dressed as Santa, and that's when he does. But then,
and he keeps saying, he's like, "I hope Norman's okay." Because
it's a, like, people know that someone's going around killing people, and so, like, William Shatner's reporting, but he doesn't know it's Norman yet.
Yeah, and he's like, "Stay away from the area."
But this is one of those things where, unless you're super paying attention the first time, you're not gonna get. So it took many viewings for me to be like, oh, they are giving you clues the whole time.
Yeah. And like I said, like with the radio station, like the radio station is playing in the car with the kids. It's playing with the families. It's playing at the house with the changeling. So like the radio station is playing like
the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that reveal definitely is the Shyamalan style twist. Mm-hmm. So I did like that. And that's one of the things that did elevate the movie in my eyes. And that was my final scene to talk about, too. So, before we get to our scores.
Kills. Best kills, worst kills.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So, best kill. For me, it's a no-brainer. It's when Santa's killing the shit-talking elf and when he delivers those one lines.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of great elf kills, but that one in particular, just because it's funny.
Yeah.
And he kills them.
Mine is an elf kill as well. It's when Santa cuts the one's head off with the paper cutter.
The paper cutter. I actually have that written down as like my number two.
Yeah.
That was a unique.
That was a good one.
You're like, why does he have a paper cutter in the North Pole? Like, there's a few questions there, but, which means then he actually killed somebody with a paper cutter.
That's pretty interesting.
So that's pretty fucked up. My worst kill, I was struggling with this because there are a lot of off-screen kills, and I generally don't include those. But you know what I didn't like? I didn't like the cop father dying because he is a cop. And I told you, like, while we're watching, he's got his gun out on the table. He's a big dude. And we see in the very next scene the mom's able to handle this kid.
Yeah.
So, like, you're really telling me, like, this changeling is able to... completely like overpower him, choke him with his own belt, cut off his head, whatever happened. So that one just kind of felt like, but then she like really had no issue dealing with him.
Yeah. Like, that makes sense.
So that was my only kind of like, eh.
Yeah. I just put down the one with the kid being pulled under the snow. Because
you
really,
don't see what happens.
You don't really see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's actually not a ton of like fun facts or trivia for this movie, but the first one is, do you know the name of the town that they're in?
I do not.
It's Bailey Downs. And they say that multiple times. Mm-hmm. And that's another one. Like, it's such a weird name. Because I thought when Shatner keeps talking about Bailey Downs, I thought he meant a person. That's the name of the town. But that's also where Ginger Snaps takes place.
Oh, okay.
So that's a little connection there.
And is that fictional? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you and I noticed this, but in the closing credit, it does state that no elves were harmed in the making of this film.
That's funny.
So the movie was initially going to be retitled Holiday Horror Story, and it was for sale in U.S. Walmart stores as that, because they basically, like, you know how you do the slips inside?
Yeah.
So some people got this movie, it was named that on a slip, and then they take it off, and they're like, oh, it's a Christmas Horror Story. I don't know why. Well, I know why they probably changed it, because you got to get rid of the term Christmas. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, I know you couldn't wait to say it, so I'll let you say it now. The butler. What else was he in?
He was in Supernatural.
As?
Pestilence.
Death.
I thought he was Pestilence.
He was Death.
Was he Death? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably that in the movie The Cube are his two most well-known. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's been in a lot of things. He was also in 30 Days a Night. He's one of the vampires.
Yeah. He's just like a really creepy old guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like because he has such sunken in features or.
You know what he kind of reminds me of? Like a older, leathery Adrian Brody.
I could see he's like an uncle to you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a. Like, looks too close, but yeah, I know what you're trying to
like
say.
Like, certain features, especially the schnoz. Yeah.
But outside of that, yeah, there really isn't much more about this film.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's odd that this one didn't get either a lot of negativity or a lot of praise. It's always, like, falls kind of in the middle,
yeah.
So, now the time comes. What did you grade this?
I'd probably give this, like, an A-. Don't look at me like that.
Okay. I want you all to listen to the last episode where I say, babe, I know you're only going to score movies high because you think someone's hot.
Shut up.
And lo and behold, she sees a Krampus with a six-pack and you get an A-.
There was more than a six-pack going
on right
there.
The original Halloween gets a C-plus initially before I coax her into a B-plus. All these great films we've seen. A Gremlins, you gave it like a B, but this one gets an A-.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Because this is something that I enjoy watching over and over and over again. That's how I look at it.
If Krampus was fat, what would it be scored?
I would still enjoy this movie.
Yeah, probably to a B. So I actually did give it a B. So I think it was, I do really enjoy it, obviously. But it is very imbalanced, and the makeup things, like, now that we're watching these things with a more analytical eye, I'm kind of like, it takes me out of the story when I see that, so.
I can't wait till we get to Ghost Ship.
The only good scene in that movie is the opening scene. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right, so what are we doing as far as the myth this week?
Okay, so. It's nothing specifically pertaining to the movie, but this is Christmas, but it's also something that I was actually frightened as a child because it's what my grandmom used to threaten me with, who is Belschnickel, which...
Made popular by The Office.
Yes. So it wasn't The Office. That's actually one of the things that I have. Season 9, Dwight dresses as Belschnickel and does, like, the whole thing and everything like that. But this was actually what my grandma used to, like, basically as the boogeyman was the Belschnickel in my household. So, Belchnickel is German in origin, Southwest German, as well as Pennsylvania Dutch communities and Brazilian German communities. So that's where the I thought that was a little weird. But that was
a Brazilian German community.
I don't know.
It's okay.
Brazilian German community.
Oh well, yeah. Some Germans after World War II did migrate to South American places, so maybe they brought that with them.
Yeah. So that's basically it originated in the Palatine area of Germany, but when people immigrated to Pennsylvania, they brought the stories with them.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, where we get the Pennsylvania Dutch and everything. So Belchnickel is, you know, I guess you can loosely say ties in, like, kind of like with Krampus and things like that. So some similarities, but different.
I've always equated him to the human version of Krampus.
Basically. It's just a slight difference. So we'll get into that. So like I said, it's related to other, like, St. Nicholas companions. Mm-hmm. So there was one, Kretsch Ruprecht, which was like a stable attendant that accompanied St. Nick.
Okay.
And, you know, would help and everything. But the Belchnickel doesn't actually coincide with St. Nicholas. Like, there are certain figures that are kind of like always appear with him. So Belchnickel is always by himself, and he combines both aspects of punishment and reward. Mm-hmm. So, like, with Krampus and Grilla and, like, things like that, like, those type of entities, they're more so on the punishment side of the specter, whereas, you know, St. Nicholas is just reward and these are just punishment. Belchnickel does both.
So he's, like, in between Krampus.
He's in between, like, yeah. So, and the Belchnickel is not like a demon or anything like that. Belchnickel's an actual, like, a man, like a person, like, so not like anything like really supernatural.
Okay.
So he's a man, and he's seen, like, wearing furs, sometimes wears a mask with a long tongue similar to Krampus. Yeah. And he's always very disheveled, wearing, like, torn and tattered and, like, dirty clothes. So just kind of looks like a little mountain man.
Looks like a hobo.
Yeah, pretty much, basically. Yeah. So he does carry around a switch, and he beats bad children, but then he also gives cakes and sweets to reward his good children. Now, the traditional version of Belchnickel, he comes around about 1 to 2 weeks prior to Christmas to kind of check up on the children. So,
gotcha. Keep them in order. Almost like a last man. Like, if you're being bad, you're going to get the switch.
Yeah.
Turn your shit around. If you're being good, keep it up.
Yeah. And basically, like, it would say, like, he would pass by the children and throw, like, sweets out. But, like, if the kids, like, jumped right on it, that they would actually get beat with the twigs and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's kind of like a final warning before Christmas. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, if you're, you know, you're good, you're going to get presents. If not, you're going to get beat and, you know, get your act together. So some areas of the world that do, like, observe this, they have Belchnickel Night, which is on the Feast of St. Nicholas, where people dress up and run the streets, known as Belchnickling or Klausentribine.
Okay.
And they wear skins and furs, and they rattle chains and bells. So, which is interesting because, you know, the eve of the Feast of St. Nicholas is also Krampusnacht, which is December 5th. So December 5th, because the 6th is the Feast of St. Nicholas. So Belchnickel Night and Krampusnacht are the same thing. Hmm. So, and you figure, like, they are very similar. And just like I said, like, all of these, Krampus, Grilla, Belchnickel, like, all these other ones, like, they all punish bad children. But whereas, you know, Krampus eats these children and kills them and drowns them, like, he just beats you with a stick, so.
Now, in doing your research, or just from general knowledge, you and I talked, given the different regions and the timetable of when these myths were created, it's understandable. They're saying kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. but obviously one is like, it's a little severe. Let's not kill our children. Let's just say someone's going to beat them with a switch.
Yeah.
Because also then you could, in theory, have someone dress up and do that.
Yeah. And that's actually what they do. There are certain certain areas and stuff like that that they do have someone dress up and go around.
But my question is, when they did this, and especially because it was Pennsylvania Dutch, mm-hmm. is it more prevalent and believed in the States, through the Pennsylvania Dutch, or is it more still a German thing?
So, it's more regional. So I probably would imagine more so in Germany, mm-hmm. Just because, you have larger area over there as opposed to one specific area mm-hmm. of Pennsylvania. Like I said, we're from Philadelphia, and I've known of this, but mainly it's Pennsylvania Dutch.
Did you ever ask Grandma where she learned about that?
That I did not know.
So that would be curious, because it could be passed down. Because obviously, even though we grew up in Philly, Pennsylvania Dutch things have infiltrated the culture.
Yeah.
So some people I know did think of things like that.
Yeah.
So, did he ever, though, he never killed a kid. He just basically beat him.
Yeah, he just beat someone with a stick.
There's
no kidnapping involved.
Was Dwight's depiction how he was dressed?
Actually, yes.
It did look like
him? Yes. So, basically, he wore the furs, the hat, just kind of looked dirty. That is exactly what he looks
like. Now, you said he was always by himself, but remember during that episode, his cousin Mose or whoever it was dressed in blackface. He was called Black Tom or something. He's his little helper.
I do not know.
Because I was curious. But you
Black
said
Tom.
No. But you said basically he works alone, right?
Well, he doesn't work alongside Saint Nicholas. So some of the other companions of Saint Nicholas that kind of help him out go around with him, whereas the Belschnickels. Not directly associated with Saint Nicholas.
Gotcha. It's a more reasonable myth.
Yes.
And from all the ones we've covered, none of them have been that forgiving. So that's one where. Wait. So I'm curious. You as a little kid, you were terrified of them?
Yeah. Well, that's what I known. As the boogeyman. For me, instead of the boogeyman, it was Belschnickel.
Okay.
And he
sounded like you were a badass kid that needed some.
I probably was. And Belschnickel lived in
in
the ghetto, yes. In the grates, when you walk when you're in row homes.
Manhole covers?
Not manhole covers. So where I lived
the cellars?
It was a lot of stores and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they had the grates that would lift up and you could walk down the steps. So
service doors and
stuff. So that's where Belschnickel lived. So if I was bad, my grandma would be like, "Oh, he's down there," and I'd have to run around it. Yeah. I was terrorized as a child. And he actually sent me a package the one day. My grandma sent me books. And it was addressed from the Belschnickel. And she even wrote in the book, "I'd love to have you for dinner one night." Yes. Yeah. I still remember that.
It's a shame none of that worked to make you better.
Shut up. I turned out just fine.
I love you. Yeah. All right. Is good, and that does close out, obviously, our Christmas myths. I mean, I think throughout the month, we touched on the biggest ones, mm-hmm. Krampus and Belschnickel being the top.
Yeah.
And there are other ones, but, next year will be interesting if we try to do Christmas again.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at the beginning of the month. There's, these little, I don't even know what to call them, trolls, elves.
They're called little people.
Shut up. No, there's these Middle Earth dwellers, I guess you can call them, that come up for the 12 days of Christmas.
Dwarves?
No, shut up. They're not dwarves.
No. I'm saying from Lord of the Ring. Dwarf, the ones that.
I guess. I don't know.
The ones that fashion stuff, dwarven metal.
Maybe. I don't remember.
I'm not Lord saying as a joke. I'm legit. That's.
We watched like one Lord of the Rings together. I don't remember.
But even like you never heard in like any of those type of like Middle Earth style Lord of the Rings. Like a lot of them have dwarves as like,
okay.
The people that live in the mountains and they come out and they make gold and they make the most fancy things in the world.
Sure. Okay. They're like little leprechauns, but from the earth. They're
called dwarves.
Okay. Yes. Whatever. But
do you remember from. The Marvel movies, Peter Dinklage, he was a giant version of it, and he made Thor's hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
they're whatever. Best craftsmen in the world. Craftsmen,
yeah.
And they're drunks.
Yeah, probably. But, these are, little people that come out and, cause mischief and things like that for the 12 Days of Christmas. But I believe it was German, too, and the name was, 15 letters long.
Gotcha. Okay.
So.
Now, so, from the myths that we did this month, which one was your favorite?
I do love Krampus. I mean,
he's the most interesting among them.
Yeah.
I guess the only one you probably learned about was Grilla.
Grilla, yeah.
I mean, the gremlin, I didn't know the
origin. That's what I did. Yeah, I knew of gremlins, but I never really.
I kind of, before I chose them, I was hoping it was going to be more in depth. I was hoping it was going to be like. All this crazy cool story, but it's like, nah, it's not that crazy.
It's not, yeah.
Grilla is interesting. I mean, I know you had a good laugh at all of her,
her children,
the potlickers,
spoon liquor.
Yeah, so all right, good job. I like it.
Belschnickel.
So, what about we're closing out this Christmas episode with what place?
Okay, so I went with the whole thinking that Pennsylvania Dutch. So I went with a place in Lancaster County, mm-hmm. So which is a big, Dutch community there.
And for those of you who aren't from the area, it's roughly an hour to 2 hours from Philly.
Yeah. So it's located between Columbia and Marietta boroughs in Lancaster County.
Okay.
I should probably say what it is. It's Chickies Rock County Park. So. It's a 422...
Where's Pete?
Chicken Pete, yeah. Some good crabs. 422 acres, and it's the second largest national or regional park.
What's the difference between a regional park?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's the second largest in that region, okay?
So what's the first?
I don't know. And Chickies Rock is literally like a cliff in this park. So there's a story. It's called The Story of Lover's Leap. And basically the story goes that a young, and I'm going to probably butcher some of these Indian names because, they're Indian.
Mm-hmm.
A young Susquehannock Indian
Susquehanna.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's on the Susquehanna River. Yeah. So, an Indian named Wanunga lived there with his wife when Huta. We'll go with that.
You and your Native American Huta, places and myths.
That I cannot spell.
You can never name or spell.
See, it's really pretty. So that was the rock. That's Chickies Rock. It's just like a big giant cliff. Yeah,
it does look like it's not a cliff like it's not as impressive as some other cliffs, but it generally is a interesting looking cliff. But go ahead.
And we'll have to go there since it's not that all too far.
Only one of us might come.
Yeah, back. Yeah, whatever. And it'll be me.
Yeah.
So basically Wanunga left on a trading expedition, but while he was away, his wife fell in love with a white settler.
Bitches.
Yeah.
What's up with these dudes that go off trying to make more money for their wives, and they just like, well, now I'm free.
Yep. So he was gone for a long time, and, she befriended the settler. They fell in love, and they would sneak off at night to Chickies Rock for some bow. Chicka bow
wow. Really? Really? Did you have to throw that in there?
I did. And I literally read that.
Oh, my God. You actually did. You wrote bow chicka bow wow.
Bow chicka bow wow.
Oh,
After her husband returned, he noticed that she was becoming, like, she was more distant. He became suspicious. And then he found his wife in the arms of another man. And what made it even worse, that he was a white man.
Damn, whiteies.
So in his rage, he pulled his tomahawk out and slit the settler's throat and then threw him over the cliff. So when Huta screamed as her husband threw her lover over the cliff, which enraged her husband because, you know.
It salted a wound.
Yeah, pretty much. So he grabbed her and tried to throw her over the cliff as well while she was still alive, but they were fighting. She was fighting for her life. He slipped, and they both actually fell to their death.
Mm.
So today, supposedly, people say that they see a colonial-era dressed white man standing near the summit of Chicky's Rocks, and they hear phantom screams of Wenhuta late at night. So yeah. They hear her screaming for her lover. You know, they see her lover at the top of it. But then also, Wenunga is said to haunt the area around there. And you can actually see him roaming with his tomahawk.
Okay. When you first mentioned they see, like, someone dressed in colonial garb, it would be funny if somebody was actually just standing in the colonial garb. Yeah, that this brings up what we talked about. I think, was it your one? The one with the love? Yeah. The guy who built the castle for the girl, and she had to be the whore and go out and bang. My question was, like, what if, like, the two that were quarreling, like, are both spirits? Like, do they come back and fuck with other people, or are they just now, like, in eternal, like,
fighting with each other?
But it sounds like one is wandering and one is just kind of sitting on the hill. Like,
yeah.
The hell?
Well, because you figure the lover was killed at the top of the cliff. So that would make sense. That's where his spirit would be.
It does, but, I mean, from all the ones we've done, unless it's, like, in a building, they never seem to be landlocked. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the guy himself who did the killing, if he's able to wander around, he really should only be at the bottom.
Yeah.
That would be funny, though, if they were just, like, yelling at each other from top of the bottom. Fuck you! yeah, it's funny. The cliff, if you get to find a picture of these cliffs, maybe the perspective's off. It is high.
Yeah.
But I could almost imagine someone surviving
there. I don't know. I think that's probably a lot higher than it seems to be.
Like, I'm... Because
look at those trees. Like, there's trees. I imagine, like
this these trees are really big.
Extremely big trees.
I don't know. I'm scaling it to the ground. Like, we're looking at the picture. I'm saying, best case, it's like 150 feet, maybe. And I'm not saying that's a short distance. Yeah. I'm saying that, like, we've heard stories of people jumping from, like, super tall things and somehow surviving.
And then people fall off a curb and die. So.
Yeah, it's true. That's very... You would think, though, it's like... Not that it's funny, but, like, he gets pissed at his girl is, like, screaming for his guy. How don't you just use a tomahawk and toss the...
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Or, this is Sparta!
Really? I don't think they knew what Sparta was, babe. So, I mean, basically what you're saying is some girl just couldn't keep her legs closed again, caused the haunting. Why do almost all of these involve a woman and her usually being unfaithful or doing something she shouldn't be?
Because probably the men are being just as unfaithful.
But that was allowed.
Really? Really?
But she had to rub in the extra salt. She's like, I had to go with that colonial. So, yeah, we will definitely, I think, we can go there. It's not actually too far from where we are. I'd be very curious if there is any. Like, I feel like there's, given that area and given the fact that there's, like, a tunnel nearby from the pictures we're seeing, I'm sure anything could sound like a scream at any given point. But it would be fun for, like, babe, do you see there's a colonial looking guy? And he's just there, like, he's taking pictures, like, just dicking around. No, that's a good one. It makes sense, staying within that area.
Yeah.
Nice way to close out Christmas on a fun note. So anything else you want to say about that one?
No.
So with that, everyone, once again, we want to say thank you for listening. We hope you had a Merry Christmas. Stay safe for the New Year's. We can't wait. We have some interesting ideas, or I have some ideas that I'm going to let Monica know for movies and themes. As much as we did like staying focused on like Halloween movies and Thanksgiving and this, I am glad to be back to more open-ended.
Yeah.
Like, we're not confined to just one type of thing.
Yeah.
So Monica is about to see a lot more black and white and silent and foreign.
Oh no. Subtitles. I don't want to have to read when it be entertained.
Just because you don't know how.
I do know how to read, jerkwad.
So with that, everyone, we want to say thank you. If you haven't already, please make sure to follow us on all social media apps. And if you can, hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating, even if you want to bash us in the comments. And with that, we want to say have a good night.
And until next time, Merry Christmas!
Woohoo!